Well, last week Justin talked about being a peacemaker, the art of peacemaking, resolving conflict. And this week is pretty closely related. We're going to be talking about the art of setting boundaries. Okay. So I'm just wondering, have any of you ever had a boundary, you know, someone step over a boundary in your life or any issues? Anybody? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So one time for me, we were living in Pennsylvania and we were part of a church there and we were leading a small group of young adults that met in our home. And so one week after the group, it was kind of late, and Lorena and I were kind of getting ready for bed, and Lorena came back and said, I think someone is at our house. And I said to myself, surely no one is here this late at our house. So I went to the door to check. And I should say that our front door had a big window in it, right? And everything that went to the front door that night was me and my skivvies, okay? And sure enough, there was someone there. So, you know, boundaries, that was kind of an embarrassing thing, but I still think that that's kind of hilarious. I wonder if it was more embarrassing for him than it was for me, right? Anyway, boundaries, we all have to deal with them. I thought it would be good if we just kind of started out with the definition of boundaries. Boundaries is a line that marks the limits of an area, so that would be like the dividing line of a property line or a state or a country line. It's also a limit of a subject or sphere of activity, so it could be like a contained area or maybe like a safe space, like a boundary could be like a safe space. On a more personal level, I feel like boundaries kind of help define us, right? They kind of help us to figure out, you know, what's me and what's not me, or maybe a better way of saying that is what I'm responsible for and what I'm not responsible for. So boundaries are very good for that. Boundaries extend to both our actions and our language, right? You can have boundaries with language as well as action. Our actions can kind of define or protect our boundaries. The same with words. You know, one example might be, you know, showing up at our house unannounced at 9:30 at night. That might be an action that steps over a boundary, right? So, another example might be in regard to our words, maybe sharing an unsolicited political view or opinion, right? So we can overstep boundaries by speaking, sharing those type things. Language can very easily overstep boundaries. I have a brother that took his own life in 2009, and I can't tell you how many times people make just kind of this offhand comments about suicide. And it doesn't really offend me because I understand, but it could for some. And that's a very easy thing that, you know, you never know what people have in their life, what is part of their story. And prior to 2009, that wasn't part of my story. Now it is. And so you just never really know. So I think it's important to recognize that verbal boundaries are just as important as physical boundaries. I would say when we're thinking about this whole idea of neighboring and the art of neighboring, and we're talking about boundaries with our neighbors, I want to kind of look at two angles for this. The first would be boundaries for you and I, boundaries that protect us. So boundaries that we establish and that we work to maintain. Without healthy boundaries, we can really just get pulled down. Our energy levels can be zapped. Our finances can become zapped. Other relationships in our lives can get hurt and be jeopardized. So healthy boundaries really are for ourselves. They protect ourselves. And they protect us from others, and they protect us from ourselves. Many times we put boundaries in our lives to help us from hurting our own self, if that makes sense at all. So there's boundaries to protect us, and then there's boundaries to protect others. I came across this scripture. There's a Proverbs 25. We'll have it up on the screen here. I love this this verse. I think it's so fascinating. It says, let your foot be seldom in the neighbor's house, lest he have his fill of you and hate you. I love the Proverbs. Like, it goes right for the throat, right?
Yeah.
So, but here's the thing. Like, if you're an extrovert and your neighbor is an introvert, you could literally crush them with your friendliness and not even know it, right? Like, you could have all the greatest efforts in mind and not even know it. Your good intentions could be overwhelming. Too much of a good thing is still too much, right? It's important to keep that in mind. So we all have limits, and figuring out what these limits are sometimes, oftentimes, the very tricky part. So I would encourage all of us to just kind of err on the safe side. This neighboring thing is a marathon, not a sprint, right? We're in this for the long haul. So we don't have to get everything accomplished in one day, week, or month. But there's balance in this too, because I think it's important sometimes when we're pushing ourselves to get out of our comfort zone, to get to know people that we don't know, we can really lean on this extrovert introvert thing as a crutch. We can use it as an excuse to not reach out. You know, that guy next door, he rarely comes out, he must be an introvert, so I'm just going to stay away. It's not good either, right? It's the line. It's finding that line and kind of navigating that line. That's the tricky part. I would say, too, that I said earlier that this topic is closely connected to last week. Blessed are the peacemakers. It's the scripture we looked at. If you missed it, I'd encourage you to go back and listen to it. It was a great, great message, and like I said, it's online. But if a boundary is violated with us, right, I should say when, right? When a boundary is violated, because it's going to happen. When a boundary is violated, there's really no peace. There's kind of just this unsettled feeling in our gut, right? Hopefully we all kind of know what I'm talking about here. We probably all experienced this. But when you have this, there's no peace in your life. It's unsettled. It's awkward. It's just, you're just kind of no good. And so the importance of going back and making it right is very important, to do everything in your power to correct the wrong. Whether you've done the wrong or the wrong has been done to you, it doesn't really matter. The important part is to correct it and do everything you can to shore that boundary up and respect it. There are some challenges that come with boundaries. I think it's important to not only talk about what they are, but talk about what they are not, okay? Some of us are the type of people that we put a lot of pressure on ourselves. We understand and take seriously this whole idea of relationships. At times we take on more than we're responsible for. We overstep our own boundaries, and we overburden ourselves. Just a little bit of a side note or a plug here for Praxis Church. One of the reasons that we put so much emphasis on relationship and exchange groups and getting to know one another is for this type of scenario. If you find yourself in this camp where you're the type of person that takes on too much, if you surround yourself with people that are like-minded and you get to know them and you build up these relationships in the context of exchange groups and doing life together, you find yourself having a relationship with people where you have a trusted voice in your life. So when you run into a snag like this, when you run into a problem where you're maybe feeling overwhelmed or trying to figure out where the boundary might be or navigate some waters that you haven't gone through before, these relationships, these trusted voices are invaluable. They can speak into your life and help you navigate these waters. And it's difficult from a leadership perspective to say you should be in an exchange group, because it's hard to communicate that. But it's those moments, those relationships, that when you hit a tough time in the road, that are invaluable. So if you find yourself, if you're this type of person, if boundaries are a bit of a challenge for you, just a couple of precautions here, a couple of cautions about what boundaries are not. I would start by saying that there's a difference between responsibility to and responsibility for someone, okay? The difference between responsibility to someone and responsibility for someone. So I believe that you know, we talk about relationships. When you're in relationship with people, when you consider someone a friend, and I'm not talking about a Facebook friend, because that's fake, okay? I'm talking about a real friend, a real friendship. We become responsible to that person, okay? Part of being a friend is being there for them, is helping them in times of needs. And those can take all forms. Sometimes it's just listening. Sometimes it's physically helping. But it doesn't matter. What the point here is that friendship fosters responsibility to each other, okay? But it's important to be sure we understand the distinction, because we're not responsible for someone, okay? The difference there. So let's do our best to keep this in the right order, because if they make a poor choice, we're not responsible for that, okay? There needs to be a separation there. We can lend a helping hand. We can offer advice. We can be there to support, however, but we're not responsible for them. You let them take it from there. You and I are not responsible for the actions of others. So there's a difference between responsibility to and responsibility for. Don't own what's not yours. No need to carry that around, right? Easy to say, sometimes challenging to do, but it's helpful in the context of people and other relationships. Another pitfall or challenge that can kind of come with boundaries is the difference between empowering someone and enabling someone, okay? We have to question ourselves, when is our help helping them to continue to make poor decisions, and when is it helping them? And sometimes that can be very, very difficult to do. There's a great story in the book that we're following along with this sermon series that talks about a story about how a couple helped a single mother with a car. And it was a very creative approach to providing help that wasn't enabling. And I think that there are a lot of ways that we can get very creative in offering up help without enabling. But it's also important to know that sometimes the best thing we can do is nothing, which maybe feels weird. But I've told this story before. It's just kind of the story of this guy that heard from God, and God told him to go out and push on this rock that was in his front yard, right? So he goes out and he pushes on the rock, and he does this every day for a long period of time. And he begins to get frustrated because the rock isn't going anywhere. And so finally, in one day in frustration, he said, God, you told me to push on this rock. I've been pushing on it forever. It's not doing anything. And God said to him, I didn't tell you to move the rock. I told you to push on the rock, right? So I think it's important for us to realize that sometimes God's desire is for us to push. And sometimes God's desire doesn't look like what we might think it looks like. Sometimes maybe God doesn't want that person to have a new job. He wants to keep them right where they are in that job. Or I mean, you can fill in the blank with whatever. But I think it's important for us to realize and trust that God is at work in all of this. And it may not look like what we think it's going to look like. So there's a difference between empowering and enabling. And the boundaries, our boundaries that we have in our life will help us kind of help keep us on track through all of this. So a word of caution. How do you handle unused help? Or maybe I should say this way. If help is offered but not used, or advice is given and not taken, how do you handle that? How will you respond? I think, and the only reason I bring this up is because I think it's important to think about this ahead of time, because there will be times, there probably already have been times in your life, there have been many times in my life where I have offered some advice, or I have thought about or shared with how someone should proceed. Maybe they're in a tough situation. So you offer that advice, and that person goes the opposite direction, does not take my advice, and everything works out great, right? And I was completely wrong. But the problem was, when they went the opposite direction, I took it personally and felt hurt by it. And in hindsight, I felt a little silly and thought that was a lot of wasted energy right there to do that. So I just feel like it's important for us, when we think about boundaries and we kind of navigate these tricky waters and these tricky conversations that we come in with, let's be aware of what's going on in our own hearts, and let's prepare ourselves that what we're supposed to do is what we're supposed to do, and that's it. And the results are on them, not on us. So just think about that ahead of time. It can save some pain, perhaps. So Jesus had some boundaries. One of the things I love about Christianity is the fact that Jesus walked this earth. He's been there. He's done that. That means he struggled with some boundaries, and he's found, you know, has been forced into thinking his way through those. And so we can turn to that to learn from them. So I think that's kind of cool. So I want to look at just a couple of boundaries that Jesus had. The first would be the fact that Jesus had people around him. He was very intentional about the people that he had around him, about surrounding himself with. He limited it to 12 disciples, and among those 12, he had three that he was really close to. These were his guys, the people that he did life with, the people that he leaned on. And we find an example of this in Matthew 26. Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane. He knew what was coming. He was about to be arrested, tried, beaten, crucified. I mean, it was ugly what he was facing, and he knew that. And so in this beautiful picture of humanity, he leans on the guys that are in his life. So Matthew 26, it says, then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, sit here while I go over there and pray. And taking with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, my soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me. So Jesus, you know, my soul is sorrowful even to death. Jesus is pouring out his heart to the people that he trusts, to the people that he's put in his life. Now, he had to be intentional about putting these people in his life. And he had to work to foster these relationships. And now here he is in this picture, leaning on these people, sharing with these people. And I'm sure there are multiple motives to this, to what was happening in this garden. But I think this is a beautiful picture of Jesus' work prior in respecting and restoring these relationships, protecting them with boundaries. And now here's a point where he's spending an intimate time with them. This level of doing life together doesn't happen on accident. It takes intentionality. Boundaries have to be set and protected and honored and respected. Boundaries made this possible. And we need to have boundaries in our own life for this to be possible for us, to have people that, on this same level. Another one is that Jesus practiced solitude and self-care. One thing that you'll notice when you look at the life of Jesus is that he took time to be alone, right? He did this time and time again. He forced this into his schedule. Even when there were needs and people were following him and it was hectic, he still made space for self-care. Here are a few examples. Before choosing his disciples, in Luke chapter 6, we see it says here, it says, In these days he went out to the mountain to pray. And all night he continued in prayer to God. And when the day came, he called his disciples and chose from them 12, whom he named apostles. So before making a huge decision, Jesus took time out and he went away. He went alone and he prayed and he went to new surroundings and he quieted the noise in his life so that he could hear from God and get some direction from God. This takes intentionality. This takes boundaries. This is important for you and I to have this type of thing in our life. Upon hearing the news of John the Baptist's death, right? Matthew chapter 14, verse 13. Now when Jesus heard this, he withdrew there in a boat to a desolate place by himself. But when the crowd heard this, they followed him on foot from the towns. So in a time of sorrow, in a time of hurting, he took time to be alone with God. He took time to focus on what was really important, to hear from God, and a time to heal from the hurts of life, right? Again, this doesn't just happen. We have to be very intentional, and you and I have to have boundaries to have something like this to happen. Jesus makes time to respect. This is just another example of him just taking some time in Matthew chapter 14. Immediately he went out. Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side. And while he dismissed the crowd, and after he had dismissed the crowd, he went up to the mountain to by himself to pray. In the midst of busyness, in the midst of craziness, the crowds, the needs, all that was going on, Jesus pushes back. And he says, I need time to retreat. So without these boundaries, this would never happen, even for Jesus. One thing I think is fascinating is Jesus spoke the truth in love. Have you ever thought about the idea of speaking truth being a boundary? So you think about the story of the woman caught in adultery. The religious leaders caught this woman. They were testing Jesus because the law said they were to stone this woman. And Jesus said to them, if any one of you is without sin, let him be the first to throw the stone. Maybe you're familiar with this story. So let the sinless person be the first to throw the stone. Well, everybody was kind of like, whoa, and they dropped the stone and they went away. And so Jesus said to the woman, who's here to condemn you now? And the woman said, no one. He said, neither do I. And he said, go and leave your life of sin. Okay? So here Jesus is speaking truth into the lives of the religious leaders who are doing the finger point. And he's speaking truth into their lives, saying, if you're so perfect, be the first to throw the stone. And then he speaks directly to the woman. He says, go and leave this life of sin. So he speaks the truth. He had expectations for people in need. Jesus didn't just assume people's needs. He didn't just assume that what was going on. He asked questions. Matthew chapter 20, he said to the blind man, to two blind men that were calling out to him, he said, "What do you want to do? What do you want me to do?" These guys were calling out to him, and Jesus said, "What do you want me to do?" So they asked for healing. So Jesus offers healing based on the question, based on the request. Mark 9, Jesus said to the father of two possessed boys, "Everything is possible for who believes." And the father says, "I do believe. Help me in my unbelief." Powerful moment. So Jesus offers his healing to a son of an honest father. So Jesus didn't just offer help. He helped where there was a request. He helped, and he had expectations for those who he helped. He wasn't just throwing it out there. So all of these, I think, are great examples of healthy boundaries that Jesus had in his life. And these are goals that we can work toward. So the reality is that we can't help. We can't be there for all the people all the time. And many times our neighbors, they may not even ask for help, right? Or there may be times when the best thing for us to do is not help. No matter the case, establish and define boundaries are crucial. They help us to slow down. They help us to be more intentional. And they help us to stay focused and keep on track. So I would say this, the best thing that you and I can do for those around us is to take care of ourselves, okay? Maybe that sounds a little backwards, but if you and I are unhealthy, it's very difficult to help anyone else, okay? Taking care of ourselves physically, emotionally, spiritually, is the best thing we can do for anyone around us. The best thing we can do for our kids, for our aging parents, for our partners, for our neighbors, is to take care of ourselves. Set and respect boundaries. Acknowledge and correct violations against those boundaries. Okay? Take care of ourselves. Now, I want to talk about just some tangible tools that maybe we can just take home real quickly here, something that might help us to kind of work through this idea of setting and respecting boundaries, because it's easy to say that, but it's very challenging to do that in real life. So here are a couple of things that may just help us with this. The first, personal prayer time. Okay? It begins with prayer. That sounds so easy to say, and I'm ashamed to say that I often forget to start with prayer. Maybe you're in the same boat, but really, when we run into some conflict, when we're trying to figure out where a safe line is for boundaries in our lives, let's start by asking God to give us some direction to pray about it. The second one would be to be honest and direct, right? It's not easy to be honest and direct. It's not easy to have conflict or to address difficult situations. But no one promised that life would be easy, right? Did your mom ever tell you that? My mom told me that. Because no one promised us that life was going to be easy. And avoidance it just doesn't work. It typically does not end well, avoiding problems. So being honest and direct is difficult, but it's often appreciated in the end. And it's the best result. So here's the thing. Rip the Band-Aid off, right? Don't try and peel it off slow. Just rip it off. Be honest and direct. Set priorities. Without a plan, nothing gets done, right? Without a plan, nothing gets done. So make a plan. Start small. If you've got an issue, if you've got something going on, set one boundary. Talk to someone you're close to. Have them help you. Hold yourself accountable to it. And just start small. So set priorities. And lastly, be obedient to what we feel God is asking us to do. Even if it doesn't make sense. I think that oftentimes that happens. So I would say, even if it doesn't make sense, ask again, pray about it again, and then trust. Let's trust that God is at work in the lives of the people around us, okay? Because he is at work in the lives of the people around us. So let's just trust that. So I'd like to invite the musicians to come up, and just as they come and get ready to sing a little bit here, I just would say that some of us in this room, we really need to set some boundaries for ourselves. Okay? We're getting walked all over, and we just need to protect ourselves. So we need to just say to our brother-in-law, "Stop taking my tools without asking me." Right? Or we need to say to we need to send our neighbor's kids home so we can have a family night. Or we need to do, whatever. You fill in the blank. Some of us just need to set some boundaries so we can become more healthy individuals. Some of us in this room, we need to set boundaries on ourselves to protect others. okay? Some of us are just, we're really excited, and we just need to be honest with ourselves and recognize the clues that when we're in an awkward situation and we're stepping on someone else's toes, we need to recognize that, correct that, so that doesn't happen again. And then lastly, I would say that some of us in this room need to help others. If you know someone who's struggling with boundaries, let's do it together, right? Let's help one another through this whole process of keeping these boundaries straight.